Let's go back to your playing career, Eric, and move on to representative rugby and Gloucestershire. Would you like to pick up on that, John?
Yeah, I think they chose you for your very first county game for the final here at Kingsholm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was really being dropped in at the deep end, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose so. At the same time, I was really picked as a kicker, naturally, because although we had an England fullback at Bristol, I think, Peter Knight, he couldn't kick, so they just had to get someone who was a recognised kicker, especially, I wasn't too apprehensive about it, especially on being on King's Own. The only thing I was worried about was playing on the wings, although I played on the wing quite a bit. I was marking John Novak, I remember, and scored a try, unfortunately, but seemed to clinch the game. It's a pretty close game. We only lost marginally. Well, that was the end of that county season anyway.
But you did start the following season.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And went on to play in the championship winning side the following season.
That's right. We played, it was a follow-on from the club success at Coventry. We'd beaten probably the best side in the competition away, but we didn't actually beat them. We drew with them 6-6, but they were that arrogant that they thought there was going to be a replay when we drew 6-6, but because we were the wayside, we'd done our homework and we knew we were through. It was a fortnight later that we played the county final on virtually the same teams, because Warwickshire was nearly all Coventry, and Gloucestershire was half of Gloucester anyway. So it was almost a rerun of the cup match that Gloucester played Coventry. There was no doubt about that result, because we won quite well. And afterwards, I remember there was an interesting story. We had a dinner at the Leofric in Coventry, and their president, Priest, Ivor Priest, the father Peter Priest, the Warwickshire outside half, he said Gloucestershire had only won by a fluke. Because what had happened was I'd taken a penalty kick, which hit the post, and Charlie Hannaford, following up, caught the rebound and crashed over into the post, and I kicked the conversion. So that's what won us the game. And this Ivor Priest said, well, it was a fluke score. But Dyke Walter, our Welsh secretary, got up and said, that was not no fluke at all. Charlie Hannaford and Eric Stevens went to school together, and they've been practicing that move for years, and the first time it's come off. The fact that there was about 10 years between us didn't come into it, because I was never at school the same time as Charlie.
But it was a great double, wasn't it, really?
Yes, it was.
The county championship and the first ever knockout cup.
That's right, in the same season.
Yeah,
I think it was just a pity that we didn't have more competitive games, because we were a club who were really up for it, you know, the knockout style of play. That's why the county did so well. But there was never any competition. Well, as you said, that was the first ever competition. It was called the RFU Challenge Shield, I believe. There wasn't even a cup for it then.
So tell us, Eric, how did it feel to run out and play at Kingsholm?
Well, it was a tremendous experience, obviously. Made you feel very proud, and it was just the ultimate, as far as I was concerned, in playing rugby. Obviously, there were other goals to achieve, which sadly I was never good enough to perform, but I did get an inquiry from the RFU for my availability for an England tour to South East, I think, Japan and the South East. And I thought, this is a step on in the right direction. And I went down to training with this card with the white rose of England on it. All the other players were there with them as well, like waving around like confetti, because I think they carded 7 players in every position to make sure that they wouldn't be in such an embarrassing position as having to pick. There was a chap called Mike Baker, I think, from Bristol. He was captain of Bristol United, and he went on a tour simply because he had a passport, and the RFU had done enough of their homework to ensure the cover they had were from passport holders. So they made sure they had about 7 shadow teams.
Yeah.
So I didn't get any further.
And what other grounds did you particularly like playing on?
Well, we always played Harlequins at Twickenham. I didn't think they acquired their ground till after I retired. Although it wasn't as far as liking the ground, it was an experience, but it was just like playing in an aircraft hangar, really. I remember running out there once, and there was a couple sitting opposite who I vaguely recognised, even from the distance, and they were the only occupants of the vast east stand. Because a couple of hundred people who were at the ground were all in the west stand around the players' exit. And as I ran across the pitch, this chap, Terry Page, was an old Christian, and he stood up and waved to me, and so I waved back. Anyway, afterwards in the bar, we played the game. I think we won fairly comfortably, and he came in for a jar. And he said, do you mind taking my photograph? He had a flash. Or having your photograph taken with me. And I said, no, he had a flash camera with him. I said, why is that? He said, well, I think he was a journalist for one of the nationals in Fleet Street. And he said, I want to go and tell my colleagues that I've been acknowledged from the pitch at Twickenham. First time I've been acknowledged from the pitch at Twickenham. But going on from that, Leicester was always a nice place to play at. Bath was a bit of an open space, as you know. It was virtually the same. And for a club trying to play open rugby, it was always very wet and muddy. Terrible conditions there. I mean, one of the best grounds for drainage was always King's Home, because of the rain we used to get here and play after the we used to train on it twice a week, play twice a week, and still it would come up trumps, you know. Very rarely had to cancel any games through bad weather. I loved playing in Notre Dame. About the time I was playing, we struck up a fixture with Bective Rangers in Dublin. I quite liked that. It was like a mini tour. We very rarely got out of the country to play rugby, but that was a nice pitch, not far from the airport. Leicester play there now, I believe. And of course, they're all at the big Welsh clubs. We always played Cardiff at the Arms Park, Swansea at St Helens, Llanelli at Stradley, and going up the valleys, there were still tips around. I remember there was a big slag heap at the end, just by the dead ball line at Newbridge. For a valley club, they were both pretty strong. Ebervale was the centre of the steelworks industry. Newport was quite an intimidatory sort of place, because they could accommodate about 40,000 there. It was quite a distance to get to the ground there, because it was Newport Athletic Club, and we changed in the changing rooms were right behind a cycling track with tennis courts and basketball courts in the middle. And we'd have to run out around this big track to get to the ground. But that was fine, unless you suffered a good hiding, which we frequently did at Newport. And you had to walk back and all the disgruntled lots of supporters about half a mile back to the dressing room. So, on the other hand, it was counterbalanced by the odd good win, so.
Yeah.
It was quite a good experience.
And I guess you counted it as something special, a good win over a Welsh club. Yeah.
Well, it was, because you always had the up against the influence of a Welsh referee. We never had an English ref there. And in fact, I remember once playing at Neath, at the Valley there. That was quite an intimidatory sort of place. and the referee hadn't turned up on time, and they said, oh, one of our committee men, Boyle, will he's a qualified ref, he'll start off the game, and then when the proper ref turns up, he'll come on. Of course, he hadn't ever turned up. He certainly didn't come on. And I definitely remember that game because in the era before replacements, we had a new prop player, Brian McDougall. He used to keep the little Thatcher off Bristol Road. And he caught the ball for them. They kicked off. He caught the ball. The knees pack hit him. And he was carried off with a broken leg. And we immediately had to rearrange the scrum. Poor old Alan Brin was a good second row, but he was no prop. And he had to pack down against a psychopath called Walter Williams. He enjoyed hurting Brinny, and we were playing up the entire game with 14 men. And, of course, only two in the back row. And this Walter Williams really put Brinny through the mangle. So that's the sort of thing we were up against.
Let me ask you if you could reflect for a moment, Eric, on from your era of playing for Gloucester, who would be the dream back division that you know you would play with? Who would you pick above all to play with?
Well, I think Terry Hobson was the best outside half we had, certainly going forward. As long as we played at Kingsdorf, I think, maybe I'll get. He was no good under a high ball, I said, on wet nights in Wales, but the winners would be Bob Clues. I think he's a record try scorer, he was a good finisher in my day. Bob Timms was underrated, I think he retired too early, he went into motor racing, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Certainly John Bates, with his defensive qualities and upsetting the opposition, would have been one of the best centres. Can't really put Dick in there, Dick Smith, because he was back row, although he did play in the centre. Alan Holder, I think, was also an excellent centre, and I'll come outside half. So, off the top of my head, I think that would be the best lineup. And Rutherford, I guess, at fullback. Or from a kicking point of view, Peter Butler was the best kicker we ever had. He would kick the ball, goals from anywhere.
Yeah. And how about the best players you played against?
Well, there were some good players up north. We had I remember Mike Sermon on the wing, scored a wonderful try. Was it Broughton? It came from an unfashionable club, I think it's Broughton Park. Keith Fielding for Moseley, he was very quick, I think he went north. Peter Costa was a good fullback for Bristol, but he was finishing his career by the time I started. Sam Doble, I guess, was the best English fullback around at that time, certainly from a points point of view. I remember seeing him play when he was at St Paul's College. United used to play them then. On those small pitches they had, he could kick them from pretty anywhere in the ground, let alone his own half.
How about Bob Hiller?
He had a horrendous time here once. We played Harlequins out here, and we went in order, we beat them largely due to his failure as kicker. And we came back out because we used to change over there and walk across the end of the field to the clubhouse. And he was still out there practicing. He'd had such a, under the guidance of Albert Agar. That was a bad tempered game because I remember another. We got some bad press after that game because they had a prop called Dave Wrench, who was a teacher at some public school, but he had the reputation of being a tough prop. And we had a bit of an argument going in the front row, and the ref broke them up, and the front rows were locked, and we had a prop, I think Bert was one prop, and Dave Christopher was the other, a Welshman from who played for us for a couple of seasons. And this Dave Wrench lashed out right in front of the ref, knocked him unconscious. And of course, there was no give because he was powered up by the second row, fell to the ground and had to be carried off.
I was there.
Were you?
You remember? I remember that game, yes.
And we got the rest of the press. And this Albert Agar, who was an England selector, I think he may have been president of the RFU at the time, and a Harlequins committee man, blamed Gloucester because he was the first Harlequin to be sent off in about 100 odd years of their history. It was all Gloucester's fault.
Yeah.
And he put Dave Christopher right in front of the referee, had no alternative but to send him off.
I remember that.
So I never really rated Bob Baylor, although we had a bit. He had a certain barroom room humour. When he captained Surrey when they beat us in the county in the final, and their entire pack were exiles.
Yeah.
And we had the dinner at the Guildhall, and he said, "I'm having my speech translated into Gaelic for the benefit of our Celtic cousins."
Well, that's rubbing it in, isn't it? It really is. But McHarg had an incredible game, didn't he? He was all over the field in that.
Yeah,
in that
he played like a number eight, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was London Scottish. He had a number of London Welsh. He had an Irishman hooking. John Taylor played, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right, wrong.
And Bob Hiller, though, was one of the few players who used to shout back at the shed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, they used to wind each other up, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.